You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast for absolutely everybody, where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by the Aussie dance floor diva, he woke up with your name on his lips. He's David Lim. And me, the devilicious UK's lost dancer to Nikki Webster, the boy who will bring strawberry kisses to the UK, Joel Babington. A lot of your impact there, David. How are you doing?
Good, JB. Very good. Excellent intro. I think that's definitely your best yet. So many references that we hope, especially our listeners in Australia, can appreciate.
Yes. All our listeners down under, the Pop Chops community, we are saying hello and
we're saying good day.
We're not saying the C word, which I know is very popular down under, but we're a PG podcast, even though we do have the explicit next to every episode, even the Ashley Tisdale and Cheetah Girls.
I always feel a little bit bad when I'm editing and I'm like, you're quite restrained with the swearing, whereas I'm the one most likely to let rip. And every time I come across it in the edit, I'm like, oh no, Joel's mum's listening. Wendy's not going to like it. Sorry, Wends.
I know. But do you know what? Today we are doing an Australian special. And I think you guys, you have that sort of sensibility where it isn't, you know, you don't take it the way my mum does. You've got, I know they don't swear on it, but you've got the Carl and Jackie O sensibility a bit more.
It's just a little bit more laid back, a little bit more laid back. You know, I think the thing with Aussies is I feel like we don't take ourselves particularly seriously. And hopefully with the selection of divas that we've got in this episode that we're covering, it kind of shows that, yeah, you know what? We had a golden era with Australian pop in the early 2000s and late 90s.
Every time we do an episode like this, I just adore the impact that you have on my musical taste. I love discovering new old favourites. And today that is going to be that. We are going to have a Down Under celebration and education today. But before we get into it, can you read us one of our lovely 5-star reviews, or is it a cheeky message?
I think this is a little bit of both, JB. So thanks, guys, once again for your lovely 5-star reviews on Apple Music and any platforms that will allow you to do that. This one was actually a DM for us because you can't actually leave written reviews on Spotify, but you can give a 5-star rating on there. So that's exactly what this person has done. So thank you, Aunt Gorgeous. The message says, hi, Joel and David. I wanted to leave a written review on Spotify, but could only leave 5 stars. So I want to send you my written review here. I've been listening nonstop since finding your podcast last week. I'm literally obsessed. When I'm listening to an episode where I know a bit about someone, or I remember something from that era, I feel like you're listening to my thoughts and mention what I'm thinking, even if it's something so small. You do great research. I was interested to seeing what you both look like in real life as I heard your voices. So I clicked on your profiles, and you do not have faces for a podcast, but video. He says all the right things.
Oh, putting the gorgeous in Aunt Gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous, and would be fab to see a YouTube of the podcast. Come on, boys. You can make it happen. Love, Ant, your number one fan. Kiss. Oh, thank you, Ant.
Thank you, Ant. Love that so much. And our YouTube channel is launching now.
Joel's just decided we're going on camera. We're uploading this entire Zoom chat.
Oh, yeah. This is streaming live, David. My mum's got to watch something.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aunt Gorgeous, for that gorgeous review or message even. Very much appreciated. So, David, who, what, where, when and why are we covering today?
Look, it is an absolute honour for me to be taking you, the JB, on a little tour of Australian pop from the 2000s. I've selected 5 essential divas, 5 acts that I feel you would really, really enjoy. And, you know, as you said before, the last time, and in fact, every time we've done one of these like Australian crossover episodes, where like whether it was Young Divas or when we did our Aussie soap stars to pop stars, it feels like you really do get on board and you come away really stanning. Like, I cannot believe that Scandalous Me, Myself and I was like one of your most played songs off last year.
Like number two on Spotify Wrapped.
It is insane. So I am very excited to get your thoughts on this group of artists. And hopefully, you know, you come out with more inspiration for JB2, JB3 perhaps.
I think there might be a few mentions of that along the way.
I just have a feeling. Look, these the five artists that we're bringing to you today that we're covering are Vanessa Amorosi, Nikki Webster, Sister to Sister, Leah Haywood, and Joanne. I mean, we have some absolute powerhouse vocalists here. Girls who were really doing their thing and really serving noughties pop excellence that really is very much worthy of international acclaim. And they deserve to be international divas, not just domestic divas. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Now, I just want to do a quick disclaimer, because a lot of you are probably wondering at this point, where is Delta Goodrum? What is this Delta snub? I know if Cameron Adams is listening, it's already firing a message. I can feel that coming.
And also, there is no snub because Delta's a headliner. We could not...
needs to be her own thing, right?
Delta is her own thing. She will get a mention somewhere along the way today. We could never snub Miss Delta. You got me the Delta Olivia CD, which I now cherish. So, David, look, I can't wait any longer. Shall we get into it?
Absolutely. Shall we start with Vanessa Amorosi?
David Lim, can you please tell me who Vanessa Amorosi is?
Look, Miss Vanessa Joy Amorosi is one of the greatest female pop vocalists to ever come out of Australia. And I don't feel that I'm overstating that one bit. No. I mean, we're talking about a powerhouse with the most insane vocal range, but also, like, think of the vocal dexterity of Jessie J mixed with, like, Christina Aguilera's lung power. I mean,
incredible voice, an incredible diverse voice. Depending on the track you're listening to, sometimes I get Alanis, sometimes I get Pink, sometimes I get Anastasia.
Oh my God,
sometimes
yes.
I get young diva Emily Williams.
Literally, stylistically, Vanessa Amorosi has been able to carry this incredible mix of, like, soul music, dance pop, rock, blues, gospel, which is actually more of her vibe these days. Like, the range. Literally, the range. Now, for most of our listeners here in the UK and overseas, you would know Vanessa best for her 99/2000 era hit, Absolutely Everybody, which was such a huge mega anthem. I feel like, yeah, most kids here would know about that.
Absolutely. Everybody.
Today, we're not like diving super deep into Vanessa's career. We're more covering the debut era for her, plus a few career highlights along the way. So I'm hoping that this would give everyone the push to just check out her amazing discography. She sold over 2 million records worldwide, 3 big top 10 albums in Australia, 8 top 20 singles there. To date, she has received a total of 16 ARIA nominations and APRA nominations. She's got an ARIA number one chart award for her single, This Is Who I Am. So Vanessa is a little bit of an industry veteran in that sense, but she isn't one of those pop stars that are super prolific. Like, you're not going to see her churn out an album every year. And I think, especially after the debut era, like, she's had quite an interesting relationship with fame and making music. So she does sort of take time off and for very good reason, you know, just to kind of keep herself grounded and get inspired again. But when she's back, you know, she's engaged. She is, you know, giving quality performances. She's hungry. She's ready to reconnect. So in fact, it so happens, Jolie B, that when this episode comes out, I believe her 7th studio album, City of Angels, is coming out this very week.
Well, David Lim, can you run down to Franklin's and get me a copy of that, please?
I don't know if we have Franklin's in Australia, but we we do have JB Hi-Fi.
Yeah, JB Hi-Fi, Joel Babington Hi-Fi, get a copy.
Yeah, Joel Babington Hi-Fi, let's get that discount code on. So, JB, let me get you up to speed with a little origin story for Miss Vanessa Joy. Young Vanessa Amorosi grew up in quite a musical household. Her parents were singers. She was sent to tap, jazz and ballet classes as a kid. By the time she was 12, she was performing in shopping centres and local council concerts. So, you know, giving like kind of Young Tiffany vibes, perhaps. Mm.
I actually got some Young Tiff vibes at moments when watching her.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely that kind of energy. So she was finally, quote unquote, discovered at age 15 after she was spotted singing in a Russian restaurant in the suburbs in Melbourne. And she was discovered by none other than Mark Holden. Now, this is a name that's going to come up quite a bit in this episode. A lot of Aussie millennials will know Mark as being one of the judges on Australian Idol. Mark himself was sort of a kind of semi-successful pop star in the 70s, but by the 80s, opportunities had dried up a little bit for him. So he went to America, started writing and producing for other artists, including David Hasselhoff and the Fifth Element actress Mila Jovovich's album in the 90s. I didn't even know she had an album.
Amazing.
So Mark was there doing his thing, and then yeah, came back to Australia, spotted Vanessa, signed her to their production company, started developing her. Eventually they were signed a record with Transistor Records, which is an independent label in Australia mostly known for dance music. Pre-debut, Vanessa was working in a recording studio helping engineers out, you know, not really being paid, but you know, the typical kind of intern thing, not really being paid, but they said you could use the equipment after hours to record your music, your demos, write your songs. So that was just kind of how she started putting together her debut album. And fast forward to July 99, we have the debut single by Vanessa Amorosi, which I always thought was Absolutely Everybody, but turns out it's Have a Look.
I mean, she's like the female Rick Astley then. That was his PR storyline, that he was the T-boy at PWL. But she actually genuinely was the... That was her way in. So, David, 1999, Have a Look. I'm sorry, but this is the Aussie Alanis Morissette. We've got really strong Jagged Little Pill vibes here. I try to get you back, but you don't need me. Baby, what you thinking now, baby? And it's interesting because it's 1999, but it feels very like 1994.
Especially the music video, like there's just a very kind of mid-90s kind of like grungy element to it.
I mean, look, I love this song. This song is right up my street. So it's got vocals, great. It's got a spoken part, great. Edgy, obviously.
Edgy.
And this is a good, this is a compliment. It looks like Martin McCutcheon is playing Alanis Morissette.
Stop it.
But that's obviously like
yeah,
a big love heart from me.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that is high compliment. But yeah, I'm really liking Vanessa's look in this era. You know, it was just that time of the 90s where, you know, kind of Brit pop, alt pop was happening. You know, we were getting lots of amazing female artists in the 90s doing rock and like kind of alternative music. So her image really fits in that sense. You know, she wasn't the girly girl next door. You know, this was something more real and something more relatable. Speaking of the video, there's two different videos. So there's this one that we've been talking about, which is the Australian original. And then they did another video for the UK German market. And that was a lot more of a polished look, you know.
I mean, the next song we're going to get to, there's four music videos. All four of those, but this one, he's got me straight off. Song one, he's got me. My hands are tied. I'm not even going to lie and get out of this
one. I don't think you're missing out too much, because I think when they did the more polished music video, it kind of lost a little bit more of the character that we like so much in this grungy 90s looking one.
We all know I'm a pop rock boy, but I do also like when it verges more to rock girls, because they're fan bloody tastic. No way in this world would you realize what the next single is going to be and what a versatile artist we're only just being introduced to, would you?
Exactly. Yeah. Look, I'll be honest, in Australia at the time, like this passed me by as a kid. I was very surprised to learn that she even got to perform at the ARIA Awards. Like literally in this debut era with this song, she got to perform there. So off to a great start, Vanessa.
Produced by Steve Mack, short for McCutcheon. It really is. I promise you, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
I was like, how many times are we going to get Martin McCutcheon shoehorned into this episode? But yeah, the great and legendary Steve Mack, you know, long before he was Ed Sheeran's Shape of You, Steve Mack and stuff with the Saturdays. I should say, yeah, long before he worked with the Saturdays. That's more on our level.
But get that paycheck, Stevie Mac. It means you can work with Vanessa of both Amorosi and the Saturdays. Great.
So have a look. Made number 13 on the Aussie charts, certifying gold.
Also 73 in Germany and 72 in Switzerland. I'm seeing here now it had a European release in 2001.
Wow.
So it must have been way after Absolutely Everybody. But on that note, shall we get to Absolutely Everybody?
Oh my God, what a monster smash. Like, this is the one, really, that put her on the map and an instantly Aussie pop icon status. Do you remember hearing this song back in the day?
Oh, David, like, this is a song where I just listened to it in terms of you said who we're doing, and I'm like, oh, I know this song. Like, I don't know how, where, why, but I know it's a dance classic. And you know, one of those songs that you just know, and it's just instantly like your mood, you could be in the worst place, but your mood is going to go straight up to 11 by getting
this song.
It
is an injection of serotonin, isn't it? But also very interesting what you said that, like, you know, maybe the name Vanessa Amorosi isn't so familiar here, but like, I even was saying this to my flatmate, Chris, telling him who we're doing today. And I said, you know, the song Absolutely Everybody. He's like, oh yeah, that's a banger. Like, people just seem to know this song, even if Vanessa's profile isn't massive here. Like, it's a known song.
To be honest, right, I would have assumed that she was a Euro club act.
Mm,
didn't
enough.
Know she was this Aussie queen. And what a versatile vocalist. I just knew, like, Euro club banger. Thought that was it at this time where they're throughout the 90s, really, we had amazing club bangers with vocalists. I thought that was it. Boy, was I wrong, but so happy to found out so much more, but also this fantastic, fantastic track. So as we said before, David, not one, not two, not three, but four music videos. We've got the club version. We've got the version for Germany, I believe, which is a holiday feel.
Yeah, that was shot in Spain, I think it seems. Yeah.
It's a video that Ellie Campbell would be proud of. And again, that is high praise. Then we've got the Millennium version, it's called, which is more like behind the scenes shots and live footage. And then the other one, David Lim, we have this trippy, low budget green screen video, which, do you think that was the first video?
I think that must have been the first, the prototype Australian version video. It just looks like some sort of trippy kids TV effects were happening.
David, as a kid, right, I went to Butlins and you could make a music video and this is what it looked like.
It's literally just Vanessa in front of a green screen with like some wild transitions, and we're just going to say it, you know, there's some costumes and cultural appropriation-y vibes here that, yeah, absolutely shouldn't have happened.
No.
And wouldn't fly today. But this was what it was at that time.
It was what it was. And yeah, it's a tough one, but you know, it wouldn't happen today, thankfully. But in a song like Absolutely Everybody, you'd like to hope they were doing a positive thing.
Yeah, yeah. You can tell where the heart and the intention was. And also, they didn't look like they had any budget. Like, it was probably literally Vanessa in front of a green screen. It's not like she had extras or anything like that. It was just her in different outfits, spinning around. I am obsessed with that kind of
funny.
That shot of her with her back, and then she just does a head turn.
That is how we're doing the intros for this episode on our stories. New episode coming tomorrow.
This is why a video podcast idea is not such a bad idea from Ant Gorgeous, because then we get the spin from the JB.
Oh, it's quite, because you know, as well, like in any other video now, like, it's like you feel the beat when she stood to the back and turns, where that beat would be cut out in the edit to have so many times. Like, oh, it's iconic.
It just became a running joke by the end of the video. Is that she going to do another spin?
Literally, as I said, filmed at Butlins. I wonder if they've still got that. You know, get down to the Mighty Hoopla at Butlins Weekender, make a music video. absolutely everybody loved this smash, including me, including you. 6 in Australia.
This song stayed on the ARIA charts for 6 months. Like, it was just not going anywhere.
7 here in the UK.
Ooh.
8 in Switzerland. 5 on the Scottish charts. Thank you, Scotland. 10 in New Zealand. 2 in Ireland. Thank you, Ireland.
Oh, my God.
17 on the Euro Hot 100. 3 in Austria, 10 and 6 in Belgium on their 2 respective charts. Number 1 smash hit in Hungary. They were hungry for it. So thank you, babies. We got platinum in Australia, gold in Germany, where it was at number 5, gold in New Zealand.
5 months before the Sydney Olympics, Vanessa Amorosi's debut album, The Power, comes out in April 2000. Now, we already had the 2 big singles, but there was another bop coming, and this one didn't expect, after getting absolutely everybody, for us to get a very introspective ballad. But here we are with Shine.
You can close your eyes and hope that when you open them, you've got a brand new life. You can give your life, or you can lose your soul. You can pay.
Very interesting lyrically, this song.
Mm.
And did you know that I found out that it was originally going to have a very different tone?
So different. So Vanessa wrote it for her high school friend who committed suicide. The original chorus was meant to go, everyone you see, everyone you know is going to die. And Mark Holden thought it was a little too dark and it wasn't really working. So he came up with Shine.
He said, let's put a spinner on this.
It just took on a different meaning. Like, it just had a little bit more of a wistful vibe, because the rest of the song is still like quite dark. But then the chorus now goes, everyone you see, everyone you know is going to shine.
It's so simple as that. But sometimes you just need to hear it and know that. And it's like, thanks, V. I am going to shine. David's going to shine. I'm going to shine. And listener, you are going to shine.
And also, don't you think that music video with that, the special effects of everyone holding the light and stuff, it's a little bit spooky.
Yeah. I mean, I've got this about another video, but it's like an episode of Charmed sort of feel. Very television of the time, like 2000 television. But number 4 hit in Australia, David.
Very much present on Australian radio. So yeah, it debuted and peaked at number 4 on our singles chart.
She also sang it in 2002 at the Commonwealth Games closing ceremony in Manchester. Any opening, closing, she's booked and she's going to shine. In 2001, this was serviced to American contemporary and adult contemporary radio.
Oh, I wonder if they did that with absolutely everybody, or did they think this was more America-friendly?
This is Charmed. This is adult contemporary. This is the crossover hit. We're talking about The Power, the album. Standout for me is I Want to Be Your Everything. It's back to her roots of that, like, sort of like rocky pop girl, very like American facing. I'm like, oh, that is a bit of the JB.
I know you're shy, and I wish you were my guy. I wanna be the one now, darling. So let's get it on when let's start something.
Speaking of album highlights, can I share one which I'm hoping you would love? Pray for Love. I mean, this is CNC Music Factory, 90s clubhouse with a gospel choir.
Queen of rock to queen of Eurodance. Fantastic.
Yeah. And then now gospel in there, which is actually more her kind of roots now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is very interesting to see her come full circle with this. But God, this was a revelation for me listening to the album.
That album, David, was a number 1 hit album in Australia. You guys could not get enough of it.
Four times platinum. Wow.
That was your fourth best-selling album in Australia of the year 2000. And in your decade-end charts of the 2000s, 81. That's really, really impressive. 21 on the Austrian albums charts, 7 in Germany. I feel like this is a very German-friendly album.
Do you know how, like, some artists are just big in Germany and you just can't explain it?
Dream of it.
That is the vibe, so
gold in Germany, David. We love that. You can understand why I thought she was a Euro artist.
Oh, I definitely can, yeah. Especially if, like, you're getting one dimension of that. So at the ARIA Awards in 2000, the album was nominated for 2 awards, Highest Selling Album and Breakthrough Release, which sadly she didn't win.
Honoured to be nominated.
She lost to Savage Garden and Madison Avenue, respectively. Like, God, Aussie pop really was doing its thing.
And the way that was felt, like, if you then think back to when we did Pop Stars Australia, so we've got Madison, you know, Don't Call Me Baby,
uh-huh.
and, like, absolutely everybody, I feel like they were really felt across the auditions. You know, Don't Call Me Baby, and everybody, like, that's just, like, churning out, Jackie, like, thank you.
Yeah, everyone was doing it in the auditions. It's basically the Anastasia I'm Out of Love of auditions. Yeah.
So, David, look, 2000, double A-side, got the power every time I close my eyes. Let's feel the power. It's a power. It's a body.
Aerobics class anthem. This is a motivational anthem.
You get one per episode, you've used it up. So
oh, yes, I know. We're trying not to use the word hun. It's very tempting
it's
to
very
say Australian hun. But we're
and
not
we've dialed
do that.
It back.
We really have been very restrained.
Want this podcast to last the ages.
Yeah.
Which it will. And then this is the other one that I thought was very much an episode of Charmed. And then we're back to the routine. Like, give Vanessa her own TV show. Then we've got a big parties. It's so 90s. We are in the year 2000. Then we've got a guy that has angel wings. The power is within you. Yes. That could be a TV movie that could be a backdoor pilot to just the Vanessa show on the WB.
Now, I also love the kind of, you know, the Roman Catholic upbringing is really coming forth here. You know, Mother Mary. I was just like, wow, okay, preach.
I'm going to say this on a lot of songs we talk about today, but that sounds like it could be on a big American soundtrack. You know, as like the opening or the closing credits of a big American film.
It's the power I want. It's the power I need. It's just, you know, that montage of them like racing across New York City.
Yeah. Or like we end in like, it's a rom-com. We end on the wedding, they kiss, fade to black. It's the power I want. It's the power I need. Absolutely love it. Shall we talk about the other side of this double A side, Davo?
Completely different mood and vibe
every time
I close my eyes.
Every time I close my eyes, the vision reappears, and when I wake up, you're not near. Could you fall in love with me again?
We've got another storyline here. A girl's boyfriend is a bit dodgy. And the police are after him. And this isn't even, Vanessa isn't the girlfriend, it's actor and actress. The girl is on the edge of a building and Vanessa pops up and gives her a hug. Sometimes we all just need a hug. And then the boyfriend's in prison and he's released from prison. Shakespeare could never.
Just who is coming up with the storyboards of Vanessa Amorosi's videos? Because it's like...
9-year-old me on a telephone. What about...
So I just saw this thing on EastEnders, right? And I think what we could do is...
But instead of like 2 years, we'll do it in 3 minutes.
You know, I must say this song completely passed me by. And, you know, we talk about this a lot on our podcast. And I think we hear more from you saying it, Joel, because like, especially when we're talking about UK acts, it just goes to show that with like culture back then, it was so quite mono in a way that like... if you miss a little bit of press here or like a TV performance or interviews in a magazine, then that's it. Like a song can completely pass you by. There just wasn't a way to discover stuff in that way.
And I guess when you've got such, like if you've got a double A side and one is so in prominent, your face, it does take the lead.
Because the power was really the power.
And so you're saying that you don't recall Every Time I Close My Eyes, but you do recall the power.
Oh yeah, that was everywhere, yeah. What I'm actually pleasantly surprised with this song is how restrained her vocal is. Because we know, like especially when you listen to this album, Vanessa throws everything at it. So it was quite nice that, yeah, like you said, every single is just kind of shown a different side and a different style.
Absolutely. Now, what I find interesting, you recall The Power, and it is the standout to me looking at the two of them. But The Power reached number 8 in Australia. Absolutely fantastic. Went gold. But Every Time I Close My Eyes, along as being a top 8 double A side in Australia, that has more showing up across Europe.
Oh, so maybe got the Europe push.
Yeah, in Australia, on Austria, number 11, Germany, 23, Switzerland, 72. And it had a Japanese release. Well, the double A side had a Japanese release, but maybe this is the one that kind of did globally, not here in the UK, but everywhere else, maybe had a little bit more of a presence. So, David, I know you want to race ahead to 2002, but before that, I just want to touch on 2001. Your girl, Vanessa Joy, released a French-only single called Champagne Champagne, which was a song for the French remake of Absolutely Fabulous, which is Absolument Fabuleux.
So it's not Eddie and Patsy, but like a different character, right?
It is Eddie and Patsy in a French film, not a French TV show, a French film. You look at the cover, the poster, it's this. We need to watch it. We need to find it and watch it. Big fan of French New Wave. So yeah, Champagne, Champagne.
Champagne, Champagne.
La vie qu'on est de champagne, champagne. Égotez-vous la vie.
Literally, absolutely, literally, absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that there were literally bodies of work that weren't reaching us in Australia, which is very strange considering how big the album did and the singles were in the first album. Like, why did they not follow up with an Australian album?
Yeah, it's a shame. We see that a lot with our pop girls across the world, or especially here in the UK and America, but these huge first albums, and then we're left wanting more.
It kind of maybe felt like, yeah, there were a couple of years in the wilderness, and then suddenly she was back with the greatest hits, which really confused me. But also, like, at the time, you didn't really think much of it because a lot of our noughties faves would sometimes release one album and then the next thing they bring out was her greatest hits, and it was perfectly normal.
All this stuff, one thing does lead to another.
I love the segue.
We get to 2002, next single, one thing leads to another. This is so good. And I'm like, Anastasia, is that you?
Who's calling stop? Cause one thing leads to another. Before you know it, you're in too deep. Till you finally discover you got no more secrets to keep. Cause little by little, step by step, you're gonna see how far you can.
The first time I ever came across this song was Paulini's version.
On Pop Idol, on Australian Idol.
Our Australian Idol, Paulini, as mentioned in our Young Divas episode. So, series one of Australian Idol, they got a cast album from the finalists. Everyone had an original song. So not covers that they sang on the show, originals. And because Mark Holden was one of the judges on Australian Idol, and, you know, he's a record producer, blah, 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 you know, worked with Vanessa Amorosi, two of Vanessa's songs from this era ended up on this Australian Idol.
So one thing leads to another, and what was the other?
The cast single was Rise Up, which was from Vanessa's Turn to Me album.
Oh my goodness.
We've been working every day and night, waiting for the chance for the day to arrive. And now we've all got something to prove. Win or lose, there's only one thing to do. Rise up and fly like eagles. Rise up through the sky.
We just thought they were originals. And it was only years later that was like, oh, they were actually, V actually released those songs first. So yeah, because I guess they weren't Australian releases. They were like Germany or European releases. He was like, yoink, let me nick that and give it to the Australian Idol folks.
Yeah, get that coin. Now, Vanessa is a songwriter on One Thing Leads to Another, so I hope she got some of that Idol cashola. And David, I know you're itching to speak about the big 2008 comeback, but I just want to say, before we get to that, we got into it in 2007 with something that is a little bit of me. Kiss Your Mama.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought it up, because I really was trying to keep this like quite top level. But I did go out and buy not only this single on iTunes, but I also have the physical CD of this album. And also, this was like a little bit of a turning point, I guess, with Vanessa, especially with Pink being so popular on Australian radio. And she's practically like, you know, an adopted Aussie, lives rent free on our airwaves. We love to hear this style for Vanessa, like it really suits her. But what really actually materialized as the big comeback from this era was Perfect. In my dreams, you were perfect. When I woke up, you were perfect. Even when you run, you're still worth it. So look, this was a very significant point in Vanessa's career, because she parted ways with management that she had from the beginning in 2006 and announced that she was signing with Ralph Carr. Now, Ralph is very like music industry veteran in Australia. He was not only Tina Arena's former manager, but also ex-husband. So, you know, powerful man. And also at this time, she signed with Universal. So she's now officially with a major label.
Nice big label.
So this era was like Kiss Your Mama, Perfect. It was like the return of Vanessa Amorosi. I think what really special about Perfect is that it's so restrained as a soft rock ballad. Hearing her pair it back is really just stunning. Like it does take your breath away at how like her tone is so beautiful, and she doesn't need to like overdo it to impress you, right?
What's lovely to see, as kind of an outsider to it all, taking it all in, it feels like she's gone from a versatile pop star to an artist that's really come into her own.
It was the most played Australian song on Australian radio in 2008. It was nominated for the 2009 APRA Awards for Most Played Australian Work.
Well done, Aussie darlings. Number 4 in Australia, a platinum hit.
Look, Vanessa in our minds were gone for so long. So she makes this big comeback. Perfect was a big radio hit. And she couldn't stop. In like what? Less than a year, she's back with a new body of work, a new album. And this comeback, this song, This Is Who I Am, is absolutely dynamite. Well, it's all right to be myself. Now I learn to stand. Well, it's okay to be just who I am. I spent years really hating.
Get it, Vanessa. What I find when you look back, 2009, we're like the end of the 2000s, the pop rock girls in this era were pushed more towards a slightly more dancey way by the time we get to 2009.
Yeah, definitely. The dance electropop element was creeping in, and it was just so much sexier and just exhilarating, wasn't it?
And this is very what I think Kelly Clarkson and Pink were doing at the time.
Mm.
And I am so here for it.
I love the message of this song. It's such an empowering song. You know how we get to that point in our kind of late 20s, entering our 30s, where you're feeling a little bit more sure of yourself, you know, and it's a new kind of sense of self-assurance. You know, some people might call it confidence. Some people might not feel it's confidence, but it's self-assurance is what it is. And that's what I get from this song.
And it just goes to show, Vanessa is showing you what the power of when you do Burnt Orange right.
Yeah, the makeover, wow. The Hazardous era, her fourth album, Hazardous, which was where this single came from, that was a big commercial success for her. This became Vanessa's first ever number one single.
10 years on, first Aussie number one. What a great way to celebrate your legacy, to cement it. 2 times platinum smash. Congratulations Universal Music Australia.
So Vanessa has had three more albums since Hazardous, 2019's Back to Love, the Blacklisted collection in 2020, and now City of Angels, which is the new album. Very key for pop fans, just to mention, in 2019, V Mama made a bid to represent Australia at Eurovision, at the Eurovision Song Contest 2020. Her song Lessons of Love came third. Lovely to see Vanessa participating and like wanting to, you know, do Eurovision. And for someone with a big German following and Europe following, would have loved to see it.
Well, anyway, David, as fantastic as that is, and I've really, really enjoyed celebrating Miss Vanessa, I think we need to circle right back to the 2000 Sydney Olympics. And I've got a question for you, David. Who is Nicole Marie Webster?
Nikki Webster. Now, this one I feel you really wanted to do for a long time.
It feels like...
When did you first come across Nikki? Was it pre-me or did I bring this into your
world? Oh, of course it's not pre-you, David. You've influenced my life so much. Imagine how boring my life would be if I hadn't have met you. You know, my Spotify Wrapped would have been very, very different. Would have just been Ashley. I'll leave it up to the audience to decide which Ashley. Obviously, it was all of them. But David Lim, you changed my life when you introduced me to this young teen Aussie pop sensation with the infectious hit Strawberry Kisses. And although I've loved that and I've seen a bit like, I loved that, like capital L-O-V-E-D, boy, did I need the excuse to find out something more. Nikki Webster on Right Back at You is Nikki Webster coming home, you know, it's about time.
Listen, us Aussie millennials have some sort of complicated relationship with Nikki Webster because it was either love or cringe. And that's just depending on how old you are when she came onto the scene. To younger kids who like maybe adored the Wiggles and High Five, you know, that was right on the market. You know, she was their Billie Piper, basically. But for us older kids, like I was in high school by the time Nikki debuted. So it was seen as a little bit daggy, which is that word that we taught you on our Insta Life with Adam. Mm-hmm. It was slightly uncool, and it did feel for most of Nikki's career, to grown-ups anyway, she was kind of used a bit as a punchline. But we're grown now, and we don't have to put anybody down. This is all about putting respect on Nikki's name. So whatever I might have said in high school when I was dismissive about her music, I was very wrong. But we are here to celebrate it. And not just like, oh, celebrating it, but her poptastic efforts were genuinely good. The videos were good. The bops were there. The vocals served. Like, she was doing her damn thing.
So, David, I think it probably did feel to you in Australia adjacent to how we felt about S Club Juniors here to me. To me, really? Looking at Nikki, she feels like a solo S Club Junior, like that, the solo embodiment of what that package was. And we're a podcast that our first ever episode was celebrating S Club Junior. So it feels only right and on brand for us to be doing this, to be giving Miss Nikki all the flowers. But S Club Juniors had that feeling here of like, if you were their age or younger, you'd love them. Mm. But if not, you'd snub them. They weren't cool. And you'd all say things. I think you all know that I probably dismissed them at the time. But 20 years on, we are like loving it. Grade A pop music.
So shall we get into a bit of the origin story of Nikki Webster?
Please.
So Nicole Marie Webster, also Nicole is like such a high school girl name of our era. Like we all went to school with several Nicoles.
Nicole Marie, you need to step up your grades if you want to continue going to dance class after school. I don't care if you think you're going to be this Strawberry Kisses, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Olympics superstar, Missy. Your education's first, okay? And when you're getting a G in maths and a ungraded in English, right? How are you going to write your little singy songs? I get the feeling Nicole was a very good student.
I get a feeling she was a very astute student as well. Yes, but thank you, Joel Day Knight, for that audio. So Sydney-born and raised Nikki was always destined to be a performer. She wanted to be a performer from a young age. Her first job was when she was 5 years old as part of an ensemble doing Cinderella at Panto. Now, it wasn't like some regional Panto. This was like a big Panto with like Bert Newton, like Aussie legends. So she was already at that level.
Right. I need to stop you there. Ask a question. This is an Australian education. I'm not signing down the episode, but the audience will want to know. Do you have panto culture in Australia?
I guess we did. Yeah.
Very interesting.
But it's a different panto culture to like what it is here, you know? Like, I think here is more accessible and it's just part of life. And I don't really, you know, no one I knew growing up went to pantos with their families, but obviously some people did.
Interesting. Okay, thank you. Continue.
So the following year, she appeared in Aladdin. She went to performing arts school. When she was 10, she did Les Mis and also Sound of Music. So she was like sort of similar to, I guess, Ariana Grande, like was coming up through the theatre scene as a kid, as a young performer. And then in March 2000, they were casting for the Sydney Olympics for a role as Hero Girl. It's like for an unnamed performer, a young performer. And she auditioned for it and she got the part. Nikki had such a pivotal role in the opening and closing ceremony of the Sydney Olympics. It literally, she captured the nation's heart with that. And, you know, that was the first time anyone ever saw her there. Just a regular Aussie girl next door with strawberry blonde hair and freckles and this big voice. I just couldn't believe that opportunity, could you, for a 13-year-old? Like, just, but also when you know her backstory, you're like, she's worked all her life for this.
Like, I've got a stage school background, but it's like, you know, I had to work over the years. Like, and this is one of those girls or one of those kids that's just really good from a young age. Like, you can tell Nikki's got a strong training background, but you have to have that natural talent to go with it, to be able to do it and perform in that way. It's perceived that she really did become an overnight sensation in Australia. This girl all of a sudden flying around this big stadium. So on the opening, we've got her performing Under the Southern Skies. Then in the closing, we've got her singing We'll Be One on this podium right in front of the Olympic flame. You know, they could have just recalled it the Nikki Webster Olympics.
It really was such a seminal role that, like, the next day, all the newspapers' front page was pictures of Nikki from those performances. I think she possibly even got more coverage than a lot of legendary rock acts that were part of the Olympics. You're like, who? You know, you're not thinking about that now, are you? You know, when you think of Sydney Olympics performances, you think Kylie and you think young Nikki.
You think Kylie, you think Nikki, you think Vanessa, you think Tina.
Yes, yes.
I don't know any rock acts performed. No.
So this sort of relationship with Kylie really started from here, I believe. There's a very cute publicity picture of both of them on top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, you know, in those grey overalls, the smiling and cuddled up together. And Nikki has said in interviews that Kylie over the years has taken her under her wing, which is very sweet to hear. Off the back of the Olympics, Nikki signs a deal with BMG at age 13. She goes on to release 4 studio albums throughout her career. The first 2 albums were big top 20 hits. She's had 6 top 20 singles, 3 ARIA Award nominations, and guess what, Joel? At the height of her career, she even had a cosmetics deal with Jagger Cosmetics and a clothing range through Kmart that was very successful and very present.
Dreams.
The business, you know, like Hilary Duff style, the business, all the works.
And if the last act felt very 90s, this act feels the definition of Y2K.
I know you love this song already, but yes, June 2001, Strawberry Kisses.
David, for me, this song has lived and been celebrated rent-free in my mind since you introduced it to me. At a previous job, I even once dressed up as a big strawberry and put lipstick kisses all over me just to be Strawberry Kisses, even though no one knew the song. I found something out today. In May 2002, Strawberry Kisses was released in the United Kingdom.
In the Royal Kingdom here itself. I couldn't believe it.
I was so shocked. It was such a shock.
Jolie B, you could have had this.
I could have
Where
had this.
Where was it in Woolworths? Where was it at HMV? Where?
I mean, I'm sorry. Where's Nikki on GMTV? Where's Nikki on SMTV? Where's Nikki on MTV? We need her on all the TVs.
Wow. I genuinely didn't even think this had an international release. So I was so surprised to find that out. Look, this song, speaking of international, is written by American songwriters. And I think you're going to be very surprised by this, Joel. Jeff Franzel, who is a jazz pianist who has accompanied Frank Sinatra back in the day and also written a song for Taylor Dane. But the other songwriter, Andy Marvel, has also written for Jessica Simpson and our girl, Vitamin C.
Oh, it's all coming together. You know how much I love Frank Sinatra. I'm so happy you brought that up. No, I mean, that makes sense. It's that Radio Disney sound. We've got Jessica Simps, Vicky C. I know she's not a Vicky, but she's Vicky C now. Where's the Nikki Disney Channel special?
Do you know what's interesting? She did say after the Olympics, people were encouraging her to move to America to start her career there, but she wanted to stay in Australia because she wanted to be close to home. And also, I feel like she's one of those
girls. Too young for LA.
Yeah, but also, I feel like she's very proud to be Australian and just wants, like, family life is much more important to her than, like, the big smoke.
And as she said in an interview I watched today, you know what? I always lived near the stadium, always have, always will.
But also, like, I just feel like there's a sense of joy when she drives past with, like, I don't know, kids that she's taking home, like her daughter's friends or something. He's like, you know, I performed there once.
A couple of times, actually.
At the red lights, you know, just casually drop that in.
Oh, I'm sure you get it up on YouTube. No, she even said in that interview that she feels so nostalgic about the whole event. So anyway, David, platinum smash in Australia. Number two for 7 weeks, David.
Wow.
Kept off the top spot by Bloody Shaggy.
Oh my God, not that It Wasn't Me song.
It wasn't me, but a cardinal. I mean, we loved that here.
We did
too.
Love it.
We loved it. It went in at number 4 in Belgium, 58 in the Netherlands, 40 in New Zealand. I thought you guys would have eaten it up. Come on, guys. 53 in Scotland and 64 here in the UK. Who knew?
This song was also nominated for an ARIA Award in 2001 for highest-selling single, but lost to your faves, Scandalous, Me, Myself, and I. I mean, how do you choose? It's
tricky.
Such a cultural impact it was that in 2017, Nikki did do a new version of it, Strawberry Kisses 2017, featuring Sam Mack. Yeah, yeah, 2017, Nikki Webster back on the scene.
Luckily, Nikki's discography is now on streaming. But for a long time, we only had the 2017 version of Strawberry Kisses on. When you first introduced me to it, that was all we had. David Lim, I want you to know that you can always depend on me.
I love this song. Don't you realize when you find you need a friend, someone who will understand, you can always depend on me. When you think nobody cares, turn around and I'll be there. You can always depend on me. Don't you? Even at the time, low key, I felt like, okay, this is a really good song. It's actually very good for Nikki's brand, like this type of message about friendships and stuff. But boy, it's only like revisiting this music video that I'm like, Y2K gold.
Watching this, I text you this in the week, but she is the living embodiment of Groovy Chick. Listeners, do you remember that? We had Groovy Chick, which was like, it was just really famous, but it was just like stationery and bedsheets, wrapping paper, cards. It was weird how we lived in that time where branding could be really famous on its own. There was no TV show to go with it, nothing else. It was just Groovy Chick. And it was...
Yeah, but it was just pop culture. Everyone had it, yeah.
And I think the male version was Diamond Geezer. I don't know if you had that in Australia.
Diamond Geezer?
I need to get you a Diamond Geezer birthday card.
There's an Amazon thing called How to Spot a Diamond Geezer.
No, not...
It is literally that design, though.
What would have been genius? Because this, you know, it was its own very successful branding. But what it needed was its own TV show where Nikki was the Groovy Chick. And then they could have used that to incorporate her music and launch her around the world. It just would have been the perfect project.
Just imagine the press conference. Nikki Webster is Groovy Chick. Obsessed with that pink Nokia phone she has. This storyline for Depend On Me is basically, you know, one of her girlfriends is feeling down and they all rush over to cheer her up. Get this text message from Kaylee. I need cheering up! Exclamation mark.
Nah, don't cry at the discotheque. Come over for a sleepover. We'll have a Barbie.
And then Nikki goes out outside a house and hails down a cab. I mean, this is all green screen magic, obviously, but it just looks so like two-dimensional in that way of things being animated. It's fantastic.
Oh, guys, you need to, like, while you're still watching this, don't turn us off, but watch the music video.
You need to watch this video,
because
for sure.
You can depend on the Right by Catcher Boys to give you Y2K goodness, which our Strawberry Kisses superstar Nikki Webster has given us. This was a number 16 smash on the ARIA charts. We love to see it.
December 2001, Best Days, the third and final single from Nikki's debut album.
I hear elements of Kylie's On a Night Like This in this track. Like little nods to the production. Tiny, tiny bit.
Like a kids bop version of that. Yeah, I can definitely get the essence. And it's written by Mark Holden and Axel Breitung, who are the same people behind Vanessa Amorosi's Absolutely Everybody. So, you know, these people know their way around like a Eurodance beat. This sounds like an early Steps song.
Nikki is on the beach living her best life. I love the routine with all the dancers. And then we get the scene where they're on top of the boat, dancing on the roof of the boat. Would be worried about the health and safety. You know what I'm like with that. But it was incredible. Hopefully it was very safe and it was fan-bloody-tastic. Again, very musical, but in a great way, which makes sense because this is a B-side. Like this has the B-side or to some people a double A-side of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Now, no one's going to touch Judy, but this is the definitive Australian version. It's absolutely worth noting that during 2001 and 2002, Nikki Webster did star as Dorothy in the Australian stage performance of The Wizard of Oz.
She did. Oh my God, this is all coming back to me now. Wow. And that was such a good booking for her. Like, I remember that being so raved about. And of course you would give her that role. Like, that is, she is Dorothy. Like, of course she would do that.
And it's nice, actually, which is rare, that we see that she's doing it hand in hand at the same time as her pop career. That's probably why she couldn't go and do GMTV.
Jolie B, we need to talk about this debut album by Nicole Webster that came out in August 2001, Follow Your Heart. She really was serving wholesomeness. You know, we're talking an album of feel-good, bright, bubblegum pop, really good message for the young kids listening, you know, messages about being true to yourself, songs about friendship. The album is entirely produced by Malaysian-born and Aussie-based producer
David Lim.
I wish. Could be my uncle, though. Chong Lim. Uncle Chong, hit us up.
Uncle Chong, can I have a job helping a sting on the, you know, whatever Vanessa did?
Can I make the tea in a studio, Uncle Chong?
No, leave me alone.
I'm telling your mom. Uncle Chong has been working as Olivia Newton-John and John Farnham's tour music director for years. Even did one of Kylie's tour as well. So Uncle Chong is established. Even composed and produced several songs for the 2000 Sydney Olympics, including the one our girl Nikki sang, Under the Southern Skies. So that relationship was already there. So it was nice to see him continue with Nikki's music career. Jolie B, I feel like there's one or two highlights in this album that you would really speak to you. The one that really jumped at me is Mirror, Mirror, done by Swedish pop producers. Now, this is a moody vibe, but it's still like a really uplifting and sweet song. You know, chorus goes, Mirror, Mirror, when I look at me, I know I can see all the love surrounding me.
There's so much to learn, so now, this was a top five album in Australia, David. Number five on the ARIA charts. Platinum. Boom.
In 2002, the album was nominated for ARIA Awards for highest selling album, but lost to Kylie's Iconique Fever.
Do you think there was the bar at the ARIA's Kylie to Nikki after they'd had such warm beginnings?
No hard feelings, babe. Yeah, can I get you a drink? I don't drink, Carly. Oh, I'll get you a J2O or something. Don't worry. I'm not going to release an album next year, so maybe you'll get them then, kiddo. But, I mean, what an honour, is it, you know, to be in the same consideration as Kylie Minogue. She lost at the Arias and she was like, God, for the next album, I need to release something more beautiful.
B, this is a bop. I mean, this is a stunning, sharp Swedish pop banger, co-written by the same guy who did the JB1 album highlight, Jessica Simpson's I've Got My Eyes on You. And also Christina Aguilera's Come On Over. So
out of all the songs we're talking about today, as we're talking about it, this is now going round and round in my head, you know. Now, David, I want to say shout out to the NRG mix. Cascada could release it now, but in fact, I will.
Take the dance mix, and that is your pride anthem.
There we go. Who wants something more?
I remember seeing the music video on Video Hits, and I remember thinking, okay, I love the video because it was like very cyber underwater world realness.
3D underwater adventure.
3D animation. It was giving Tron, but in the ocean. The song didn't really resonate for me until, like, I want to say the last 10 years, maybe. And I'm like, okay, like, I think I like this a little bit better than Strawberry Kisses.
Yeah, you know, Strawberry Kisses is like the literally infectious sugary hit to reel you in.
And that is more of a novelty hit to some people, but this is an international pop star.
Yeah.
Look.
Now, David, this is a cover. So it was originally recorded and released by the American girl group PYT in 1999. And their version is gorgeous. It's a little bit more of like a Max Martin-y demo-y sounding track or an album track. So this is a gold selling single in Australia and number 13. Smash. And then she moves on to 2002, she releases 24/7 Crazy About Your Smile. She is giving her pop star rite of passage school music video here, David. Now, what I really like about it is obviously it's done in a very friendly way because she's still a child, but she's giving us a lovely red PVC outfit. We've had it from Louise, Billy, Brittany, and now Nikki has got it. And where is mine?
Honestly, this is a running theme with our podcast. We're going to get something custom made for you 1 year for your birthday. I think we need to do a GoFundMe or something. GoFund a red PVC outfit for Jolie B.
Yeah.
I love that now we can add Nikki to this long roster of pop stars doing it in this outfit. So look, these singles are from her second album, Bliss, which also did very well. It was a top 20 hit in Australia. Fun fact, there is an album track co-written by Emma Bunton.
Yes.
To Have to Let Go, which I believe we did talk about in our solo Spice episode.
Yes, but these things have to come back around, you know.
We can't need imagine to remind
everyone to be
them
off
kids.
Book with every single thing we've ever spoken about. We don't even remember. So yeah, isn't that wild? Absolute caliber along here. So, and listen to it, it sounds very Emma Bunton. I'm guessing it was something for Emma's first album.
First album, yeah. But gosh, it's right on the money for a Nikki Webster project. And it's, she's giving you these earnest vocals here. It's so sad now.
So that was a number 16 smash on the ARIA charts, gold certified. Now, David, lots more exciting stuff from Nikki. We've got the third album, Let's Dance. And I just want to say 2003, she kicks off this with, we've got a lot of dance theme going for the album, Let's Dance. So we've got a cover of Dancing in the Street. Now, this is a cover of Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. Now, to be honest, this song was made for Nikki's Kids Bop-esque version, I think.
I mean, there's a bit where she name checks different countries and Australia was one of those countries. I feel like that was written for Nikki's version, surely, right?
I would have demanded a writing credit.
But also, like, I feel like Nikki's doing different things with her voice with this album. She's maturing as an artist, as a vocalist, and there's just a lot more sass and a bit more growl in there. And I feel like, okay, you know, someone's listened to a few Christina Aguilera records and she's feeling her oats. I'm like, let's do it.
As we all have at that point.
Oh, yeah, every day. But yes, Nikki.
So kicking off this dance-themed album campaign, the titular track, Let's Dance. Now, this is obviously right up my street. It's a bit of me, one of my favourite singles of Nikki's. The J-Lo of Australia is here. Let's Dance, co-written by, you've been waiting for all episode, guys, Delta Goodrum. Can you believe it?
Delta, Mark Holden, and Alex Brayton, who, you know, the pair that did absolutely everybody for V Mama. So, yeah, I guess this must have been like early sessions for Delta, you know, when she was I Don't Care era Delta.
Do you think it's like leftover from her original pop launch?
I mean, yes, of course, Delta could do it. She can do anything, but it just, yeah, pre-Born to Try era, I feel like she was doing more bubblegum stuff like this. But gosh, it is so perfect for Nikki. The samba vibes even has a tap dance breakdown. I mean, This is precisely the kind of single you need to release once you've done Strictly. Like, first, you know, off the back, just cash in on it. Go for it.
Absolutely. This is literally a music video of my school days, for better or worse, David.
They're dancing in Chicago, they're dancing in Spain, they're dancing where it's tropical, and dancing in the rain, and in Romford.
Oh, no. Yes, I just loved it. I thought it was fun, it was cheesy in the best possible way. Because, you know, she is a phenomenal dancer, so let's do it, especially where they are. You can tell by this third album, they've had this child teen sensation who is now in this period that we all go through where we're not, like, in our older teen years, we're not in our pre-teen years, and it's unsure what to do. Well, you've got a fantastic dancer here, so let's just focus on that, and that can be a really good in-between album. And I think it really worked. Lots and lots of fun. You know, it isn't the most highest budget thing, but I think it serves its purpose. 37 on the Australian ARIA charts and number 12 on the Australian Artiste singles. So, Davo, I just want to quickly talk about the Let's Dance album. So we got a lot of covers on here, such as ABC, My Boy Lollipop, etc. Some I'm here for, some I'm not. She covers I Want to Dance with Somebody, but it's actually really great, and it's one of the better covers on the albums. I would say it's better than Ashley Tisdale's cover of I Want to Dance with Somebody. So high praise from Miss Nikki Webster there from me. I wondered, and I don't think it is, but I wondered if it was paired with some kind of like Nikki Webster dance DVD where she teaches you routines.
Or was this the point where she had already launched her dance school? Because I'm kind of like, is this kind of like turning her career in that direction of like queen of dance, mentoring the next generation kind of vibe?
I don't think she is, but maybe she was, or
thinking ahead, like, you know, this is going to be my brand in the future. I'm going to be the Lisa Scott Lee of Australia. Nikki is a dance school and she has a separate talent and modeling agency. So it's all, you know, brand Nikki. Maybe the wheels are already turning there. Yeah.
Possibly. But there are still some really interesting moments on this album, David. As I said, really liked that Whitney cover. Zero Gravity is a good edgy moment. I'm not sure if it's a cover or not. It sounded great to me, though. Then we've got Don't Give Up, which is co-written by Nikki and is a really great moment. And then, David, there's Be Mine, which is a Wild Orchid cover co-written by the Duchess herself, Fergie.
Oh, my God. London Bridge artiste, Fergie.
People like Fergie and stuff got these checks in the post and they're like, what? great.
What? In Aussie dollars? Okay, yeah. Let's do the conversion.
Oh, sorry, darling. It'll cost you more to cash the check than actually on it. Number 46 on the ARIA charts. You could have done like the Let's Dance Party Tour to go with it or something like that. There's lots of opportunities within it. Groovy Chick says, let's dance. And I'll put it to bed there.
Oh, my God. I mean, if he had a dime, if the JB had a dime every time. He
this is when I tell you after, I'm like, I just invested in Groovy Chick.
Yeah. So, Jolie B, we must say, speaking of dancing, she did Dancing with the Stars season 2.
Wow, in early
2005.
On.
Yeah, really early on. What really was a big deal in 2005, this very year, was she turned 18 and she did FHM and Zoo Magazine covers, and they were this new Nicki, which really shocked the nation. Like, I'm talking, people were shook. Headlines were made. It was like the tabloid fodder of that week or month or whatever it was. They couldn't believe it. Our little girl Nicki has grown up and she's sexy. So FHM, she was approached actually to do it as a celebration of her turning 18. So, you know, you got to let people grow up and be their own person.
And we've said it a lot when you're like, I don't want to speak for Nicki. I hope she felt comfortable and I hope she really enjoyed doing it. But all
she has no regrets doing the shoot. She said,
and all I say is good for her. Cause all I know is that when I was that age, you do these things that you want to do that. Cause when you're a teenager and like the older side of teenager, all you want to do is try and be really sexy and then
grown up.
You want to be more grown up when you're younger and then you just sort of don't care anymore when you...
Yeah, and then you realise growing up is overrated and now you don't want to grow up.
Then you start a podcast and talk about songs like Strawberry Kisses.
So yeah, Nicki was saying about that time in her life, you know, at some point as a young girl, when you finish school, you don't know what you want. She looks back on those shoots and she says, they're beauty shots to me, they're glamorous. It's just, you know, we do growing up publicly and hopefully we do it respectfully as possible, because at the end of the day, I know my daughter's going to find these photos at one point, so I want them to be respectful. It's a journey being a teenager, she said. It's about being a young woman. It's about exploring things and having fun. You get boobs, you get a body, and everything changes. And some people want you to grow up and some people don't. And she actually said around this time of her life that she found it quite dark because she felt like she was the punchline of everyone's joke when she was a kid. And then that kind of prompted her after this period in 2005 to 2006, prompted her to leave Australia. So she did eventually move to LA for a brief period of time just to kind of find herself and figure stuff out. And fair enough. Now, Joel, we're going to talk about another moment of Nicki's career where it's like, wow, in your face, she is back. Devilicious, whoa, in 2009.
Well, our Nicki's back, she's grown up, and she's sexy. All the boys want to kiss me, and the girls can't resist me. Make no doubt about a baby. Maybe suspicious, fictitious, but now I take so delicious. Everything you do, I can do my way. I'm devilicious. Now, David, I think if I recall correctly, when you introduced me to Strawberry Kisses, straight after you introduced me to Devilicious, you were like, she did this. And then all these years she did this. And I was just like, wow.
You know, I had to do a quick pitch at that time because I was like, OK, is he going to enjoy it? And like, how can I just get the history of Nicki real quick, you know, while we're having wine at home? So, yeah, I really just did a quick fast forward to Devilicious.
And I mean, you get the journey, don't you, with those bookends.
From the Olympics and Strawberry Kisses to now All Grown Up. Now, this song was written by Nicki herself with New York club legend and DJ Mike Rizzo, who has remixed for Madonna, Britney, all your faves. So, and I must say, Joel, this was a Joy 94.9 staple.
A-list on Joy. If you haven't seen this music video, imagine Britney's Till the World Ends in a warehouse instead of underground. It's very impressive music video for an indie pop artist in 2009, though. So many dancers, David. It was a huge...
But this is like dancers from her school. So I think it was kind of like a showcase in a way of what the talent is at Nicki Webster School of Dance or whatever it's called.
Well, it was a big, sexy production and... What is interesting is because you could go, oh God, what a shock, Strawberry Kisses to that. But we all grow up, and it's so interesting that to a certain caliber of gay men that love pop music, you're like, they both tick the same boxes, really. You're like, yeah, banger.
We are here for all of it. And then in 2019, Nicole Webster appeared as a contestant on The Masked Singer Australia as Alien. She was voted off, sadly, in the third episode. But yeah, she has her own children's dance school. And, you know, at some point in 2010, she opened a talent and modeling agency for kids with her brother. She was going to do Dance Moms Australia, like actually be the face and the heart of the franchise in Australia. But then COVID hit. Oh. But yeah, she had done all the press and it was announced and everything. And
were
it was
any episodes filmed?
No, apparently not. Such because of shame. COVID. Yeah. So that was going to be her next big project, that she was going to bring Dance Moms to Australia. And they were going to be centered around her school. And yeah.
Wow.
Good promo for her, though, yeah. Her school. Yeah.
All I can say is this, like, the wonderful Nicki Webster has had my dream career. Teen pop superstar. Dancing with the Stars, Mask Singer, you know, she's done the JB's pop career in the alternate universe. And I love to see it. Musicals. Yeah. So love to see it. And yeah, this will always hold a special place in my heart of one of these joyous pop careers you've introduced me to. And now hopefully we've shared that with so many more people.
Thank you for listening to part one of our Aussie special celebrating Vanessa Amorosi and Nicki Webster. I'll be honest, we recorded this as one episode, but halfway through the edit, I texted Joel and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm really worried we're not able to cut this down. So we're going to have to split this into two parts. So join us for part two, where we will get into Sister to Sister, Leah Haywood and Joanne, coming in just a few days. I honestly hope you guys enjoy this discovery if you don't know these Aussie legends. And if you do, I hope it's been a fun nostalgic ride. What is it that Joel normally says here? I've never had to do this outro before. You've been listening to Right Back Atcha. You can follow us on all social platforms at Right Back Pod. You can follow Joel at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow me at LoveLimmy. Until next time, bye. Everybody.